We certainly can thank God for grace. I remember that hymn so well from a child. I attended a Bible conference monthly, and that was one of the hymns that were sung just about every Sunday afternoon when the Bible conference convened. I can still see Mrs. Kuiper on the piano playing that hymn. Good thing to have memories. Tonight, immediately after this meeting, we're going to have a get-together for the Vacation Bible School that we're going to be having this summer. And we'll just meet right on this side here near the front. And we're going to go over a number of things and get our bearings and make our preparations for the Vacation Bible School. We had a great time last summer in Vacation Bible School, and I'm looking forward to the school this summer. It's great to be with the children and impart spiritual truth and learn memory verses and do a number of other things. We're in the book of Exodus tonight. This is where we're starting. But we're going to go right through the scriptures tonight. I want to talk to you about having a nice day. You see, when you go to the store today and you buy something and you go to the cash register, you pay it, the clerk usually says, "Have a nice day." And you go somewhere else and the person says, "Have a nice day." Well, how do you have a nice day? So we want to begin in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now let's pray together. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we bow before you and we thank you for the exceeding riches of your grace. We know that you have purposed for the ages to come to display in us and to us and for us and through us the exceeding riches of your grace. It is marvelous. It is infinite. It is matchless. When we look over the way in which you have led us, we're reminding ourselves of what we read in the 107th Psalm. He led them forth by the right way, that he might bring them to a city of habitation. Now they thought it was the wrong way that you led them, but it was the right way. And many times the problems that we face in life cause us to think that our way would be better than your way. But we have to bow to your will, because you are not only leading us to a city of habitation, but you are graciously preparing us for it as you seek to work with us day by day, preparing our hearts and conforming us to the image of thy dear Son. We thank you for the workings of grace. We thank you for what grace means to us. It means that you are sovereign in the display of your grace. It means that you have an eternal purpose, and that your purpose cannot be thwarted by sin, by Satan, or by individuals, and that your purpose will be completed in a coming day. It cannot fail. And we thank you that we cry out to thee day by day, because thou art the God of all grace. And it is to thee, the God of all grace, that we have been exhorted to call upon, to cast our every care upon him, because he cares for us. We ask you, our Father, for special needs tonight. We pray for our Sunday school week after week, especially with the boys and girls. And we ask you to graciously work in that area of this assembly. We not only pray concerning our Sunday school, but we ask for wisdom tonight concerning Vacation Bible School, that we may be able to incorporate through the teaching of your word a few new families within our fellowship that will come along and bring their children, that we may see them saved and baptized and discipled and go on to enjoy the riches of Thee, the God of all grace. We ask You, our Father, in a special way for this endeavor. And in our meeting tonight, may it please Thee to give us a good preparatory session together, that our hearts will be knit as one for the work of the Lord. Then, our Father, we ask You concerning the Lord's Supper. It's a time of worship when we gather together to remember Thy dear Son. It is the greatest meeting of our week. And we ask You that we may hear more thanksgivings for Thy dear Son and what He means in our lives and what He means to You by His faithfulness, even unto death, in order that Your eternal purpose in grace might have reality to that great redemption that He accomplished there on Calvary's cross. And for the ministry of the Word of God, meeting after meeting, we pray, O God, that it may conform us. We pray that the ministry of Thy Word will have its effect. We long to see sinners saved in our midst, and we long to see Thy people growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray with James tonight that we may be not only hearers of Thy Word, but that we'll be doers, putting it into practice. Hear us in these things. Minister to our hearts. And especially we want to pray for Mr. Rudy, who cleans the chapel here, the building, and his wife, for he's been down with a back problem and not able to work for a few weeks now. And we ask You to give wisdom to the doctors and understanding that they may be able to help him with the problem he has with his back. We thank You for the way in which You've answered prayer for Mrs. Petrie. And we pray for all those on our prayer list that they may know something of Thy blessing and Thine undergirding hand day by day. To this end, we ask You now to minister to our souls for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. When we think of that expression, have a good day, if we're going to have a good day, we have to begin our day well. And the question is, how do we begin a day? How do we begin a day? Now, this is very practical as far as I'm concerned tonight. How did you begin your year? Your year began with a day. And when New Year's Day comes around, we say to each other, Happy New Year. Well, how do you have a Happy New Year? And how did you begin your year? New Year's begins with a day, and that day begins a whole new year. Now, God lays much emphasis on New Year's. God reorganized in the passage that we read from Exodus chapter 12, the Jewish calendar. And He took the seventh month, and He made it the first month. So we can ask ourselves the question, why did God change the Hebrew calendar? Why did He change it? Well, He wanted the new year of the children of Israel to begin with redemption and entrance into new life by the blood of the Lamb. And that's what you have in Exodus chapter 12. You have the instruction of God for the order of the Passover. And when we come to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read, For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now you and I, who are saved by God's matchless grace, we know that a new day, and we know that a new year, and we know that a new life, a life that has been redeemed by the blood of Christ, can be soiled very easily. Therefore, how we start each day is very important. Now, God's Word has a list of things to do daily. And I'm going to take you through a list of things that God's Word has for us to do daily. And it's important to us. If we're going to have a nice day, as everybody tells us to have, we're going to have to start the day right. And if we're going to start the day right, we're going to have to do the things that God expects us to do daily. So let us begin with Psalm 72. Psalm 72. In the 72nd Psalm and the 15th verse, we read this. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. Here is the psalm of the great king. He shall be praised. In other words, God is to be praised daily. One of the first hymns we sing when we have the Farmers Week Conference at Moody Bible Institute, the first hymn in the morning at 9 o'clock that opens the service many times is, when morning gilds the sky, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work or prayer, to Jesus I repair, may Jesus Christ be praised. I knew a Bible teacher who began his morning by singing that when he got awake. Now, I'd like to do that in our home, but I don't think Phyllis would like that too well if I sang that hymn. What a hymn it is. And each stanza of the hymn speaks of praising the Lord. In other words, we should begin the day with praising God, regardless of the weights and the cares of yesterday. Each morning presents to us a new day today, and we can press on and praise God for his goodness to us. But then we turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. And verse 3, where we read, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. And then we move back to Psalm 55 and verse 17. Psalm 55 and verse 17, where we read, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, we read, and everybody knows this, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, ask God for his blessing daily. I need the blessing of the Lord, and I need it daily. Psalm 86:3, it's a cry to God for his mercy. T.O. Chisholm in that hymn number 2 in our hymn books, you know. The chorus goes, morning by mercy, morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness, the mercies of the Lord. And we need the mercy of the Lord, and we need it daily. Ephesians, or Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Crying to God for mercy. And then, evening, morning, and at noon, praying as we read in Psalm 55. And then the commandment of our Lord in the prayer that he taught his disciples, give us tomorrow's bread today. No, we don't have that. Give us this day our daily bread. And oh, how faithful God is. And when we think of his faithfulness to Israel in the wilderness, and when we think of our Lord's interpretation of all that, in his great sermon on the, or discourse on the bread of life in John chapter 6, he could say, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Oh, to ask God for his blessings daily. This is a new day. This is a new day to love the Lord. This is a new day to show forth his faithfulness. This is a new day to manifest his love toward others. Not only should we praise God daily. We have the privilege of praying daily. Oh, turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Here we have Paul and Silas on the second missionary journey, and they had come in Acts 17 to a place called Thessalonica, and in verse 11, Paul and Silas are at a place called Berea. And we read in verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Ah, here are people that are more noble than they of Thessalonica. Now in the book of Proverbs, I think it's chapter 26 and verse 1, I could be wrong in that chapter, it says, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. It is the honor of kings to search it out. The Bereans were what? More noble. Nobility goes with royalty. And they were more noble. They showed their royalty, why? By searching the scriptures daily. With that in mind, let us take a look at the 8th chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34, where we read this. Blessed is the man that heareth me, and the me here is none other than the Lord, for the Lord is speaking of himself as the embodiment of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 is the great wisdom chapter of the Bible. And he says here, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And here's a person of Christ. Now the thought here, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And the picture here is that of an Easterner who has a servant waiting behind a screen. And in order to get the servant's attention and to be served, all he does is claps his hands and the servant appears. And this is how our attitude towards the scripture should be in searching it. As a servant waiting to hear the voice of God and to obey the bidding of the Lord, we should study the scriptures daily. Furthermore, we should identify ourselves with Christ daily. I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23, where we read, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. There is only one cross in the Word of God. It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I are called to take up our cross. It is our cross because we are identified with Him. As we read in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Now, what kind of suffering can the believer fellowship in? It is certainly not suffering for sin. For our Lord alone can suffer for sin. But it is suffering like our Lord endured in His earthly life. He suffered the opposition of sinners against Himself. And if you and I are witnessing for Christ, we're going to be opposed by sinful men. And we're going to suffer because of the things sinners say about us. We're going to suffer because of things that sinners may do to us because of our love for Christ. I had a long chat with a lawyer this afternoon witnessing to him concerning faith in Christ. And since his home had quite a bit damaged because of the storm that came through this past weekend, he said to me in a rather smug way, he said, do you think that we in this area are quite wicked? I said, you know what the Lord said about that, don't you? He looked at me and said, the Lord said, remember, for those sinners more wicked than other sinners, that Pilate took their blood when he killed them and he mixed it with a sacrifice on the altar, were they sinners above other sinners? Or those people upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, were they worse sinners than others? No, he said, except you repent, you will all likewise perish. I said, that's what our Lord said. It shook him up a little bit. You see, oh, how we'd like to get an excuse. God is punishing us for something. You see, man by nature is a sinner. And occasionally God comes in swift judgment, as he did, and he puts up a billboard, as it were, to display his holiness, as he did when Uzzah tried to hold the ark of God from falling over, and God smote Uzzah, and he died there. Doing a good thing, God smote him, because they didn't pay attention to detail. The detail as to how the ark of God is to be moved. And you and I, if we're witnessing for Christ, we're going to have to be ready for suffering along the way. And this is something that we do daily. The fellowship of his suffering. If any man will come after me, that's identification with Christ. Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. That means we're the man in old Roman times who went down the street with a cross on his back. There's one thing you could say about him. He wasn't coming back. He wasn't coming back to the type of life he once lived. He's going to be executed. He's going to be put to death. For the cross of old Roman time knew no mercy. And you and I are called upon to take up our cross daily. Follow him. Now, number 5, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. Here's a great one. Hebrews 13 and verse 3, where we read these words in this very practical chapter that begins with "Let brotherly love continue." And verse 3, it says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves in the body." That isn't the verse I wanted, and I jotted that down without checking it out, because it says, encourage one another with the word of God. Okay, let's go back to chapter 10 and verse 25. Chapter 10, verse 25. I got the verse now. Exhort one another as you see the day approaching, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhort one another daily, while it is called day, is another expression in the book of Hebrews. Now, how do we exhort one another? We encourage one another. How do we do it? Well, when we meet one another, we don't say, do you know what happened to brother so? He's getting a divorce? Is that how you encourage one another? No. You encourage one another when you meet them and say, oh, God gave me a blessed promise this morning as I was studying his word. What a difference, you know. What a difference. God showed me something this morning in his word. Let me share it with you. That's how we encourage one another and exhort one another. Now, you and I who are the Lord's should be continual fountains of living water. One more. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 31, Paul says, I die daily. I die daily. What does this mean? You see, there is an entrance into the life of Christ that realizes we still have Adam's nature. Even though I've been saved a number of years, I still possess that old Adamic nature. And the only way of dealing with old Adam in Philip, or old Adam in you, is by taking old Adam to the cross daily and letting our Lord Jesus put him to death. That's the only way you can deal with old Adam. and it is something that must be done daily. I die daily. This is what Paul meant in Galatians 2:20 when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what is meant in Romans chapter 6 and verse 11, where he says, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Very quickly, four things. To have a nice day, it has to begin right. It has to begin right. And when we look at these passages tonight, we find that they are commands that call for our attention daily. To daily praise the Lord. To daily ask God and cry to Him for our needs. To daily exhort one another. To die daily. To daily search the Scriptures. Blessed is the man that heareth me, our Lord said, waiting daily at the post of my doors. What a privilege. To have a nice day, it has to begin right. Therefore, to go to the Lord and to realize that He has ordered all our life, and now with that desire, to walk in the way that He has set before us in daily discipline. Now, most Christians that I find today are afraid of that word discipline. But discipline has the same root meaning as the word disciple. What is a disciple? One who is taught. And a person can only be taught by discipline. Now, if you're going to learn to play the piano, what must you do? You have to exercise discipline. No one ever learns to play the piano well who doesn't discipline themselves. Now, once you've been disciplined, then you can start to break the rules a little. But not until you've been disciplined. And I'm talking about playing the piano. You see, once you've been disciplined, you see, you can make different arrangements with the keys that you couldn't until you knew how to handle the instrument. We're so afraid of that word, discipline. But you know, if I'm going to praise the Lord when I awake, if I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord, if I'm going to search the Scriptures daily, if I'm really going to take old Adam to the cross, if I'm really going to pick up my cross and carry it daily, not afraid to suffer for Him, it calls for discipline. It just don't happen. It just doesn't happen. You have to decide, this is what I'm going to do. You see, following Christ daily is a secret of having a nice day. Did you ever think of the one things of Scripture? The one things. Paul said when he wrote to the Philippians, this one thing I do. The psalmist in Psalm 27 says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may inquire in the house of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. One thing, our Lord said to Martha, one thing thou lackest. One thing. Have a nice day.